Driving through the Midwest, one hardly notices the miles of fencing lining today's roads. For many of a younger generation, fences have been a part of the landscape as far back as they can remember, and they seem like the most logical solution to the problem of defining one's territory. However, fences are not native to the American landscape. The original peoples of the land were largely nomadic groups, roaming the countryside as they pleased. Land was not owned by individuals. With the westward expansion of the American settlers came their farming traditions, and a very large part of that tradition was building fences to protect their crops. However, the plains presented farmers with a new problem. None of the traditional fencing material could be found on the plains. The two most common fencing materials from the east, trees and loose stones, were both in short supply. So the plains pioneers were forced to use new methods. Smooth wire, developed in the 19th century, was tried first. While it was better and cheaper than the alternatives, smooth wire still had its drawbacks. It snapped in the frigid plains winters and sagged under the smoldering summer sun. And the cattle weren't afraid of it. Unlike the piercing thorns of hedge trees, smooth wire didn't snag on the cattle's hide, and they rubbed against it until it broke. The solution to these problems came in the form of a new invention, barbed wire. A farmer near DeKalb, Illinois, named Jacob Glidden, created a design that came to be known as the Winner. Most barbed wire produced to this day continues to use Glidden's design. The introduction of barbed wire had a drastic effect on the plains. It obviously wasn't the only factor affecting the region, but it played a major role in a variety of ways. The availability of an effective fencing material encouraged settlement on the plains, as farmers were able to protect their crops. This had a huge impact on the peoples, such as ranchers and Native Americans, who were used to roaming unimpeded across the plains. Violent battles between free grassers and fencers erupted, and many people died from these fence-cutting wars. Although traditionally used by a farmer to keep animals out of his crops, barbed wire soon came to be used to keep livestock in. While cutting down on the number of livestock lost on the long cattle drives, and generally increasing the quality of beef, containing the cattle within fences meant that there wasn't as great of a need for cowhands. In this way, barbed wire had a big social impact as well. It is hard to know the extent of the impact barbed wire had on the plains, but this short narrative from McCollum's The Wire That Fenced the West leaves one with a sad feeling about the lessons learned along the way. In the mid-1800s, the cattlemen of the Texas Panhandle decided to create drift fences. The idea was to keep the northern plains cattle from roaming south during the cold winter, so they constructed a fence from east to west. When the harsh winters hit, the cattle tried to move south towards the warmer Texas ranges, but were stopped by the fences as planned, left to huddle in the bitter cold. They moved like gray ghosts, icicles hanging from their muzzles, eyes, and ears, toward the Texas Panhandle and directly into the fences. There they were stalled. They could not go forward. They would not go back. They stood stacked together against the wire, without food, water, warmth, or shelter. They pressed close against each other in groups all along the fence line, and sometimes they gathered in bunches reaching as much as 400 yards back from the fence. Still, there was not enough warmth in their huddled forms to counteract the cold, and within a short time they either smothered or froze in their tracks.